Gearing up for the big game? We are too. Join us on the Moth Podcast for a special episode dedicated to hilarious true stories about football, family, and growing up.
I loved Franco Harris so much that in 1975, I invited him to my bar mitzvah. And he was so cool that he actually sent me a telegram.
Each week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, and above all, true. Find the Moth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 12:06, and I am at the Minnesota African American Heritage Museum and Gallery in North Minneapolis on Penn Avenue. My son, Andrew, is here reading his best-selling autism children's book, Andrew Does His Dance. And it is always a pleasure to partner with community groups and organizations, especially when it comes to educating people, adults and children alike, about autism. And, you know, when I announced that we were going to be at the Minnesota African American Heritage Gallery on Penn Avenue in North Minneapolis, some of my friends said, well, where is that? I've never heard of it. And I was like, well, wait a minute, because if you have not heard of it, then that is on me. I need to make sure that you know about it. So I asked Josh to call up one of the main folks over here at the gallery, and so we can tell you all about it. So if you didn't get out here today for Andrew's book signing, there's so many different opportunities, so many programs that they have here at the Heritage Museum and Gallery. So joining me now is Miss Coventry Cowens. She is on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. And Miss Coventry, thank you so much for this amazing opportunity for my son and my family and my children. I wish I could tell you about the pride that they felt walking into the African American Heritage Museum and Gallery right here in the Twin Cities. It is just an amazing opportunity that you have curated for young and old alike.
Well, thank you, Shaletta, for coming. We're just so happy to have you and your family here, and Andrew doing his part and reading out loud, which is so critical, especially during the summer.
And, you know, that is so important, and it is so amazing that you said that, because I was just sitting there listening to Andrew read his book, and there's so many positive, affirming things about him in that book. And to hear him talk about some of his accomplishments, right, some of the things that that he's done, whether it is the autism officer training bill that he, you know, helped with Carrie Dietzick to get that implemented. And so the state of Minnesota pays for officers to have training so they can know how to deal with adults and children with autism, you know, or, you know, any of the other initiatives that he's done to help special needs children who have autism or on the spectrum. And, you know, he's a teenager, right? And he's going through some stuff right now because he's being real teenager-y. And so he's reading those things, and I could just see his I could see his body language change. I could see his face change. I could see he started feeling a different way, because this book about him reminded him of all of his accomplishments. So talk to me about why you're doing this children's circle, this reading, having kids and adults alike come in and read their books, because like you said, reading out loud is so very important right now.
Well, yes, it is. Since we opened 6 years ago, we have always had a children's reading circle, which we think is important, that especially for them to learn about other authors, authors from their community, and just an opportunity to hear stories narrated in person. I think it impacts the child and the parents, but they remember so much more when they do this. And we do have many authors on our website reading out loud, which anybody can sign on and look at on our YouTube channel as well as on our regular channel. For Facebook. So Yeah, this is an important part of our programming.
And it is just so amazing to come in and see the museum. Like I said, when my kids walked in, it was their first time here. And they were looking around and they were reading. And, you know, I could see the pride on their faces, seeing the photos of Nellie Stone Johnson and reading that information about hometown heroes, African-American people right here in the great state of Minnesota who have done amazing things. And a lot of these people are not included in our history book. So coming to the Minnesota African-American Heritage Museum and Gallery is really an opportunity to educate our children about the historic things that Black people have done in this state.
Well, we're open to everyone. We get school tours. We have a youth curator program, which is open to everyone. We have currently three exhibits, one Unbreakable, narratives about African Americans contributing to the state of Minnesota from 1800 to about 1950. We also have civil rights from mid-1800s to 1969 being shown. And we also have, for 2 weeks more, Soul Force, which is a very energetic exhibit on the civil rights movement in Minnesota during the 60s and 70s by James Curry. So we are very active trying to present the information, and we also partner with other historical societies in the state to show that African Americans were a part of the growth of the state. And so, and we're free. I always want to mention that we're open and free to the public. We do tours, scheduled tours with any corporate groups or schools, church groups. So everyone's welcome to come to the museum.
And it is an amazing place, and especially as summer goes on before the state fair starts. I don't know about any other parent, but I am running out of things to do, and I'm also running out of money. And so to have a free museum to bring the kids to look around, to enjoy, to support, it is so vitally important to keeping the Minnesota African American Heritage Museum and Gallery around. And Linnea Hoff and Jan Rainey are both on social media saying, "Oh man, I hate I missed Andrew." And Linnea says, "Wish I could have come there in spirit with you on the radio." So they are listening and they are supporting. And, you know, Ms. Coventry, a lot of our listeners here at WCCO Radio, they are grandparents and parents who have mixed race children. And they are constantly flagging me or texting me or DMing me saying, "I want to make sure that my children have the information they need. I want to make sure that my children understand their heritage. I didn't grow up with it. I didn't have it. It's not my reality. It wasn't taught in my church." And so I just think this is so vitally important. As you, as a grandparent, have your mixed race, you know, granddaughter or grandson with you for the summer, or if you're an aunt and you have a mixed race niece or nephew, bringing them down here and you both getting educated is an opportunity that will create memories that will last for them a lifetime. Don't you think, Ms. Coventry?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you kind of hit it right on the head that everybody needs to know, and in part of instilling in themselves a sense of pride that they also have a history and that they come from something, and people contributed to the development of the state, and that it has a full, rich story. And they carry this with them. And if they don't know this history, then they're lost, a little lost as they mature over time. And really, this will help reinforce their total being as they become more mature and grow up. So this is, I think you hit it right on the head that learning your history is part of being, is a part of who you are.
Mm-hmm. And it is so important that people learn that. And I want to make sure they know how to get to you. Can you give us the website so that people can go there, get the hours, get the information, find out how not just to get here with their children, but also to support and to volunteer and maybe even donate?
Oh, yes. We're always looking for volunteers. So your audience can go to MAAHMG.org, and you'll see all of our programs, our times, our scheduling. We also have a Facebook site where you can see all the activities and people that come to the museum. We also have a Facebook channel that has videos, excellent videos that have been commented on as being very thorough. And those are also free. So if you're looking, as Shaletta said, for something and you're running out of money, this is the place to come.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you for having us. And you guys stick around. We'll be right back. It is 1221. You are listening to News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. It is the Shaletta Show. I'm Shaletta Brundage, and I am the host of the show. It's 1221. It is a beautiful Minnesota day. And let me tell you something. I am live from the Minnesota African American Heritage Museum and Gallery. My son Andrew just wrapped up a reading of his new best-selling autism children's book. Came out in April in honor of Autism Awareness Month. It's called Andrew Does His Dance, and it's all about how to support normal developing children who have autistic siblings. Now, 1 in 36 children in the state of Minnesota are on the autism spectrum, and chances are those children have siblings. And as a parent, I know the mistake that I made, and I can be honest about this, is that I spent so much time on the children who could not talk that I forgot about the child who could. And so I was so busy taking Brandon, Cameron, and Daniel to speech therapy and getting the IEP done and trying to teach them how to talk and look at me and understand simple commands, you know, how to find these combination locks and gates and Comcast chirps and alarm systems to keep them safe in the house so they wouldn't run away and wander off and have an Amber Alert, or worse, have them drown in a nearby pool or lake, or building a fence high enough and strong enough that they wouldn't be able to kick it or get out of it, and working and trying to do what I could for other families. I forgot about Andrew. I was like, you know what? You can talk. You can walk. You can ride your bike. You can warm up your ramen. You can put your Eggo waffles in the toaster. You good. You don't need a mama. You're fine. These other kids need me more than you do. And so he did good in school. I ignored it. He did bad in school. I ignored it. And it wasn't until he got older that he was able to come to me and talk to me and say, Mom, I just don't feel like I have your support. I lost my mama and my daddy to my siblings. And I know they need you, but I need you too. And I was blown away. I mean, even when I was sitting up here writing these autism children's books, I had written 3 books. I said, I got 3 kids with autism. I'm writing 3 books. I wrote Cameron Goes to School. I wrote Daniel Finds His Voice. I wrote Brandon Spots His Sign. I washed my hands. I'm done. I'm good. I wanted to write a book about each one of my kids with autism. And so when it was time this year, Andrew said, where's my book? I said, well, Welcome back to the Shaletta Show. We are broadcasting live from the Minnesota African American Heritage Museum and Gallery on Penn Avenue in North Minneapolis. My son Andrew is still talking to kids who are here, who got free copies of his book, because you know that's what we do, and they are talking to him about how to be a writer, how to be an author. What did you have to do? What's the process like? It is amazing whenever he goes out into community talking about his best-selling autism children's book, how kids can see themselves as writers and authors. It is so inspiring. Like, we wrapped up, we packed up, we were headed out the door, and some kids stopped him and said, I want to be a writer. There's a whole different program over here of kids with Daniel Bergen, and they're learning about Black Press in Minnesota and some other program. And these teenagers saw Andrew, and they were like, you wrote that book? You wrote that book? I think I got a story to tell, too. And so, you know, Andrew, at 17 years old, being an author that is out in community talking, telling his story, is not just so we can sell books. It is about inspiring other children that they have a story to tell. You don't have to be Dr. Martin Luther King. You don't have to be Rosa Parks. You don't have to be Sandra Day O'Connor. You don't have to be Oprah Winfrey or somebody famous to write a book. Everybody has a story to tell. Even little Andrew Brundage. And so when other kids see him telling his story, they are just so inspired. And they want to do the same. And so it's always fun for me to just watch him. You know, that literally they were packed up and ready to go. He and Sean and the other three children headed to Raising Cane's. You know, that's my satellite kitchen. When one kid stopped him, then another, then 12. You know, all inspired by somebody who looks like them. A little brown boy with dreads in his head, you know, who knows the language, knows the dance, works at McDonald's. He looks like them, right? And so it's just such a blessing to have, you know, my son be an inspiration to the next generation of creative people, the children who look up to him. So if you have not yet, get yourself a copy of Andrew Does His Dance. It's available on Amazon, Red Balloon Books. I always encourage people to go to our local bookstores. I know everybody has Prime, so it's easier to just click. But, you know, our local bookstores, it's so important that we get out and support them. So I tell everybody, if you're in Stillwater, get over to Gully Wobbles. If you're in St. Paul, go over to Red Balloon Books, Strive, Moon Palace. So many bookstores in town who are, you know, employing. They got brick and mortar space. Crown Shepherd right now is at the Minneapolis Farmers Market with a table where she's selling books from independent art authors right here in the Twin Cities. It is just so vitally important that we get out there and support our local bookstores. And if you've got a relative or a cousin or an aunt or an uncle and they have a child with autism, I just would encourage you to get a copy of the book and send it to them, so that their kids can see themselves in a book. There are not very many books out about children with autism. And that's why I created these books, so that these children with autism can be empowered when they see themselves on the cover of a book or in a book. And it's not sad. It's not just information for parents. It's not something that is discouraging. It shows them as the hero. Right. And so it's so important that we get these books into the hands of the children and the parents so they can understand that there's hope. They can see my children and know that things can and will get better. Now, don't go anywhere. We've got weather coming up next. It's a beautiful day. If you want to get out and about and do some fun things, like over here at this Heritage Museum and Gallery where I am live today for the duration of the show. And I'm going to be talking to one of my girlfriends, somebody that I know and love, Carla Bingham. She's got a program that she made me and my family jump in and become a part of. And I tell you what, I feel already like we are making a difference. What is it? We'll tell you after the break. I tell you what, when I came to Minnesota and moved to Cottage Grove, I did not know what to expect because I didn't know anybody out there. You know, our base is North Minneapolis. That's where our church is. That's where we were married. But, you know, we know that all things are not created equal here in Minnesota. And depending on your zip code, you may not have access to the things that you need for your family. And so when we moved back from Texas to the Twin Cities, we were looking for a neighborhood that had really good schools that focused on kids with autism, because we were trying to get our kids healed. You know, our goal is that we don't want our kids to get help. We want them to get healed. And so we moved to Cottage Grove because Great Cloud Elementary had the autism program, and we saw our kids making great, great strides, right, in the program. And, you know, one of the first people to friend us and to become allies and advocates for our family was Carla Bingham. Now, at the time, she was our state senator, and she had been a city council person, and now we are so blessed and honored to have her as our Washington County Commissioner in District 4. And she is joining us right now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. And I just cannot tell you what kind of value you have added to our family. Your family has become my family. Your mama's birthday was recently. I was like, I got to get to the store to give Mama Bankham a gift, girl. Because, look, we cannot. It's like, I feel like that's mama. Like, she is the whole mama of Washington County. I was like, no, ma'am, Mama Bankham's birthday cannot pass without me blessing her with something for her birthday.
And when I told her I'm talking to your friend Shaletta and my friend Shaletta this morning, she's like, you tell Shaletta good morning and hello and hope that she has a great weekend. She's super excited I was going to be on with you today talking about a wonderful program for the residents of Washington and Ramsey County. So.
And you know what? You have always pushed me outside of my comfort zone. Shaletta, advocate for yourself in your business. Shaletta, get those kids over here. Shaletta, are you showing up? I'm like, girl, look, I'm tired. You're like, no, come on, you can do it. And so, you know, here is one more program that you have told us about that is already blessing our family. I know, you know, for a lot of parents, especially those who have kids with special needs, we pack their lunches every morning, and nine times out of ten, that food is coming back. It is coming back. We will not be able to keep it. And I had been throwing it away, and you were like, no, girl, you got to get in on this food scraps program. Tell us all about the program.
So it's really, really unique. It's the only one in the state where the residents of Ramsey and Washington counties have this opportunity to recycle food scraps from your home. And what it is you can co-collect your food scraps. And really what it is, it's very simple, is you can visit foodscrappickup.com or contact our customer service line at 651-661-9393, and you sign up for your free bags. So everything is free here. And then what you do is you cook your food, you know, whatever you have left over, or if you bought too much and you forgot it was in the fridge, or you don't want those leftovers anymore, you put them in this bag that they send you, you tie a little knot in it, go throw it in your garbage container, along with all the rest of your garbage, and then it goes right in on the curb. So, like, it's co-collected, and then it gets shipped on down to the R&E Center, the Recycling and Energy Center there in Newport. And then we have these cool robots, Shaletta, that use AI technology to grab those bags, and then they get separated, and then we take them out to get composted, and then that compost is used really instead of, you know, those bad fertilizer pesticides that aren't really good for the environment. And they help our farmers, they help our community gardens, which you and I both know flourish out here in Cottage Grove. We've had events at our community garden. So, yeah, I mean, it's just really a good opportunity for our residents here in Washington and Ramsey. And not every community has them, and we could talk about that in a little bit. But it's just a wonderful program.
And I want folks to know they can go to, and this is where I got a lot of information, foodscrappickup.com. That's where you can go to get more information. If you're online, if you're streaming the show right now, foodscrappickup.com. And I tell you, it's a lot easier than I thought it would be. You know, I need to make sure we stress that because, you know, as parents with kids and you're trying to get the lunch in and you're trying to get the breakfast mm-hmm. in and you're doing laundry and you got to go to work, you know, the last thing you want to do is one more thing. And that's what I was telling you. I was like, girl, I don't have time to do one more thing. I don't really. But right. The way it's all set up, it's just like, you know, you put the receptacle there. You've got the special trash bags. You make sure that the food goes in there. It's no different than, you know, you recycling your plastics and paper.
It's so efficient, and it has such a little impact on the current, like, waste hauling system, so you don't have to worry about, like another bin outside on the curb
or another
truck making damage on your street, or different things like that. So, I mean, it really is environmentally, you know, sound, and it's just very efficient. And then here's the other thing, you know, whether you live in an apartment building or whether you live in a single family home, everybody has access to this. So it's very equitable and everybody can do it because it all goes into the garbage area, not into a separate bin, you know, like we were saying, where you have to go put a separate container out by the curb.
And that is so important because a lot of times people in apartment complexes or in townhomes, you know, they're at the mercy of the people who run the place. And so they may want to recycle or they may want to do other programs, but they're not able to participate. And this program is really the great equalizer. And it is so this, you know, everybody wants to talk bad about AI, baby. AI has got this working. These robots are sniffing out these bags in regular trash and they are pulling them up, and it is like, wow.
And you know, like, let's talk about why this is. Everybody's like, well, why should we do it? Why should we care about it? Well, you know what? Because food scraps is about 20% of our trash weight, and then we want to remove that out of our system, our land, our waste, our landfills, and our waste system, right? And we want to be able to get that out of that waste hierarchy and create value from it. And that value in this situation is the compost. Hopefully someday we're going to be able to create actual energy from it that reduces, you know, the greenhouse gas. But, you know, being able to take that material and turn it into a use and put that back in the soil instead of the pesticides and the, you know, all the other stuff that, as I said, is not good for us. I mean, this is a way to do that. So, and it just, it really, you know, helps us nutrients back into the ground that are healthier for us and reuse it.
Okay, now I got to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, I've already got a couple of DMs from some folks in Cottage Grove who you know and love. And I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on? How can I start participating? We're going to tell people how they can sign up for this program when we come back. It is 12:50. You are listening to News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. It's 12:51. It's the Shaletta Show. I'm Shaletta Brundage. I'm the host of the show. And I don't know if y'all know this, but there is a Shaletta Day in Cottage Grove. It was one April day a couple years ago that I got a call to come down to City Hall. And I thought that it was because of the parking tickets that I had not paid. And so I literally told my kids, I was like, y'all don't come with me because I might be going to jail. So y'all stay home with your daddy. And so I got dressed and I went down to City Hall, and Carla Bingham, Susan Kent, Carrie Dietzick, Mayor Myron, Justin Olson, Steve Dennis, they were all there and they were looking at me and smiling. I was like, how they gonna be smiling? They about to put me in jail for not paying these parking tickets. And what they knew that I didn't is Carla had cooked it up, and they had created Shaletta Day. And every year we celebrate Shaletta Day in the city of Cottage Grove. And they gave me this proclamation, and I was laughing and crying, and I was relieved that I didn't have to go to jail. I still had to pay my parking tickets, but it was just so beautiful that you did that for me, girl. And every year we celebrate, we have some cake. I make Justin Awesome do some splits and twirl and flip around in the grass and stuff. But it was just so nice of you, girl. And you got the Golden Girls together. It was just a beautiful day.
Yeah, you know, it was fun, and I've never heard you scream so loud, and I think you maybe gave the police chief a little scare when you were screaming after you figured out what was happening, which is never a good thing to do, to scare the police chief. So, but yeah, what a great day. But so well deserved. With everything you do, giving back to our community and many communities, and lifting people's voices up that maybe don't have access to things that they really should, and really the attention that they deserve for businesses or healthcare or many different things that you promote. So we just appreciate that, and you need to be highlighted for what you do for Minnesota and for our community. So it's really well deserved.
I just can't thank you for that and what you're doing, you know, for the community with this new food scraps program. I've gotten a couple of texts and emails from some folks and some DMs mm-hmm. who live in Cottage Grove because mm-hmm. they've been hearing about the program. And like me, they have kids who bring 90% of their lunch back home. We've been throwing that away, and we could be putting that in the food scraps program. Yeah. We are cracking eggshells. We're peeling bananas. We're cutting the stems off strawberries. You know, these mm-hmm. kids are spoiled now. They got us cutting the crust off the bread, and we've been throwing that away, and we should not be doing that. And so this new food scraps program that you are working to make sure to get the word out about, that we have in Washington County as well as Ramsey County, you know, the first in the state. Talk to me about how folks can sign up and participate.
So this program is available to folks in Washington County that live in the communities of Cottage Grove, St. Paul Park, Newport, Great Cloud Island, Landfall, Oakdale, Woodbury, and then also in Ramsey County and Maplewood and North St. Paul. The residents of the other communities we're going to be rolling out in phases over multiple years because of the machinery it relies on. So mm-hmm. those that I just listed, all you have to do is visit foodscrapspickup.com, and you can just tippity-tap on the computer there, put your address in, and start your account, and they will send you a nice box of a year's worth of supply of free bags. Again, I'm saying this is free to participate in. And then if you want to call, we have a 24/7 customer service line at 651-661-9393. And so those are the two ways to be able to participate for residents in those communities. And we also have a customer service line and websites that are available in multiple language, English, Spanish, Hmong, Karen, Oromo, and Somali. So we're really reaching out to our diverse. Yeah, we have a very diverse, these counties are very, very diverse. You know, Washington yes. County, is very diverse. Cottage Grove is over 20% diversity in our residents, and Woodbury, I believe, is even higher. So, I mean, we're really making sure that these services we provide are being able to be culturally relevant so that they can understand the services that are available to them so that they're utilized, because that's the point. Got to utilize the services that are available.
And it's so important that people feel like what is happening is relevant to them. You know, yes, when you make absolutely. Things available in different languages, people say, this program is for me. It's not just for them. Yes. And it's, you have just been such a champion of being inclusive about everything and making yes. everyone feel like they're a part of the solution, so that we don't have a problem of folks saying, well, that's not for me. I can't participate. And I just appreciate you doing that.
Yep. And that's the point of being part of a community, because we got to represent all people. And, we got to make sure that the services that our government provides works for all people. So, I mean, that is what we're working on here in Washington County, Ramsey County, and we're partnering, and we're making things efficient and effective, and really helping in this situation, really focused on reducing that waste stream and helping the environment, and really making things efficient for our residents here through our food scrap recovery program.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I know it's Saturday.
Thank you for
I know you got lots of stuff to do, you and Boo and the dogs and Mama and them. y'all always doing something. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something right now, Carla Bingham. You let me miss a meat raffle, and we are going to have some furniture moving. I have never been to a meat raffle before, and you and Mama Bingham are always somewhere, and there's a meat raffle going on. I need a meat raffle in my life.
Well,
I got to get me a meat raffle.
in November, there's a meat raffle for the St. Paul Park Fire Department. But I'm telling you, Mama Bingham, I don't know what she does. If she wins, I don't know if she's spending my inheritance. Like, there's no tomorrow. She's spending my inheritance if she's just winning meat. I'm going to win. I'm going to be throwing a steak on the grill after Mama Bingham closes her eyes. Be like, this one's for you, Mama Bingham, because that's all I'm going to have.
Baby.
Steaks. So
that's it. That's that's your heritage right there.
That's
a bunch of frozen steaks. A bunch of frozen steaks. Don't let me miss it. I want to be there because I want to be with her because I know she's a winner. And I'm a winner because you're my friend. And I thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Shaletta.
All right. Talk soon. All right. And you all don't go anywhere. We've got more to come on the Shaletta Show. We'll be right back. It is 12:06, and I am at the Minnesota African American Heritage Museum and Gallery in North Minneapolis on Penn Avenue. My son, Andrew, is here reading his best-selling autism children's book, Andrew Does His Dance. And it is always a pleasure to partner with community groups and organizations, especially when it comes to educating people, adults and children alike, about autism. And, you know, when I announced that we were going to be at the Minnesota African American Heritage Gallery on Penn Avenue in North Minneapolis, some of my friends said, well, where is that? I've never heard of it. And I was like, well, wait a minute, because if you have not heard of it, then that is on me. I need to make sure that you know about it. So I asked Josh to call up one of the main folks over here at the gallery and so we can tell you all about it. So if you didn't get out here today for Andrew's book signing, there's so many different opportunities, so many programs that they have here at the Heritage Museum and Gallery. So joining me now is Miss Coventry Cowens. She is on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. And Miss Coventry, thank you so much for this amazing opportunity for my son and my family and my children. I wish I could tell you about the pride that they felt walking into the African American Heritage Museum and Gallery right here in the Twin Cities. It is just an amazing opportunity that you have curated for young and old alike.
Well, thank you, Shaletta, for coming. We're just so happy to have you and your family here, and Andrew doing his part and reading out loud, which is so critical, especially during the summer.
And, you know, that is so important, and it is so amazing that you said that, because I was just sitting there listening to Andrew read his book, and there's so many positive, affirming things about him in that book. And to hear him talk about some of his accomplishments, right, some of the things that that he's done, whether it is the autism officer training bill that he, you know, helped with Carrie Dietzick to get that implemented. And so the state of Minnesota pays for officers to have training so they can know how to deal with adults and children with autism, you know, or, you know, any of the other initiatives that he's done to help special needs children who have autism or on the spectrum. And, you know, he's a teenager, right? And he's going through some stuff right now because he's being real teenager-y. And so he's reading those things, and I could just see his I could see his body language change. I could see his face change. I could see he started feeling a different way because this book about him reminded him of all of his accomplishments. So talk to me about why you're doing this children's circle, this reading, having kids and adults alike come in and read their books, because like you said, reading out loud is so very important right now.
Well, yes, it is. Since we opened 6 years ago, we have always had a children's reading circle, which we think is important, that especially for them to learn about other authors, authors from their community, and just an opportunity to hear stories narrated in person. I think it impacts the child and the parents, but they remember so much more when they do this. And we do have many authors on our website reading out loud, which anybody can sign on and look at on our YouTube channel as well as on our regular channel for Facebook. So, yeah, this is an important part of our programming.
And it is just so amazing to come in and see the museum. Like I said, when my kids walked in, it was their first time here. And they were looking around and they were reading. And, you know, I could see the pride on their faces, seeing the photos of Nellie Stone Johnson and reading that information about hometown heroes, African-American people right here in the great state of Minnesota who have done amazing things. And a lot of these people are not included in our history book. So coming to the Minnesota African-American Heritage Museum and Gallery is really an opportunity to educate our children about the historic things that Black people have done in this state.
Well, we're open to everyone. We get school tours. We have a youth curator program, which is open to everyone. We have currently three exhibits, one Unbreakable, narratives about African Americans contributing to the state of Minnesota from 1800 to about 1950. We also have civil rights from mid 1800s to 1969 being shown. And we also have for 2 weeks more Soul Force, which is a very energetic exhibit on the civil rights movement in Minnesota during the 60s and 70s by James Curry. So we are very active trying to present the information, and we also partner with other historical societies in the state to show that African Americans were a part of the growth of the state. And so, and we're free. I always want to mention that we're open and free to the public. We do tours, scheduled tours with any corporate groups or schools, church groups. So everyone's welcome to come to the museum.
And it is an amazing place, and especially as summer goes on before the state fair starts. I don't know about any other parent, but I am running out of things to do, and I'm also running out of money. And so to have a free museum to bring the kids to look around, to enjoy, to support, it is so vitally important to keeping the Minnesota African American Heritage Museum and Gallery around. And Linnea Hoff and Jan Rainey are both on social media saying, "Oh man, I hate I missed Andrew." And Linnea says, "Wish I could have come there in spirit with you on the radio." So they are listening and they are supporting. And, you know, Ms. Coventry, a lot of our listeners here at WCCO Radio, they are grandparents and parents who have mixed race children. And they are constantly flagging me or texting me or DMing me saying, "I want to make sure that my children have the information they need. I want to make sure that my children understand their heritage. I didn't grow up with it. I didn't have it. It's not my reality. It wasn't taught in my church." And so I just think this is so vitally important. As you, as a grandparent, have your mixed race, granddaughter or grandson with you for the summer, or if you're an aunt and you have a mixed race niece or nephew, bringing them down here and you both getting educated is an opportunity that will create memories that will last for them a lifetime. Don't you think, Ms. Coventry?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you kind of hit it right on the head that everybody needs to know, and in part of instilling in themselves a sense of pride that they also have a history and that they come from something, and people contributed to the development of the state, and that it has a full, rich story. And they carry this with them. And if they don't know this history, then they're lost a little lost as they mature over time. And really, this will help reinforce their total being as they become more mature and grow up. So this is, I think you hit it right on the head that learning your history is part of being, is a part of who you are.
Mm-hmm. And it is so important that people learn that. And I want to make sure they know how to get to you. Can you give us the website so that people can go there, get the hours, get the information, find out how not just to get here with their children, but also to support and to volunteer and maybe even donate?
Oh, yes. We're always looking for volunteers. So your audience can go to MAAHMG.org, and you'll see all of our programs, our times, our scheduling. We also have a Facebook site where you can see all the activities and people that come to the museum. We also have a Facebook channel that has videos, excellent videos that have been commented on as being very thorough. And those are also free. So if you're looking, as Shaletta said, for something and you're running out of money, this is the place to come.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you for having us. And you guys stick around. We'll be right back. It is 1221. You are listening to News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. It is the Shaletta Show. I'm Shaletta Brundage, and I am the host of the show. It's 1221. It is a beautiful Minnesota day. And let me tell you something. I am live from the Minnesota African American Heritage Museum and Gallery. My son Andrew just wrapped up a reading of his new best-selling autism children's book. Came out in April in honor of Autism Awareness Month. It's called Andrew Does His Dance, and it's all about how to support normal developing children who have autistic siblings. Now, 1 in 36 children in the state of Minnesota are on the autism spectrum. And chances are those children have siblings. And as a parent, I know the mistake that I made, and I can be honest about this, is that I spent so much time on the children who could not talk that I forgot about the child who could. And so I was so busy taking Brandon, Cameron, and Daniel to speech therapy and getting the IEP done and trying to teach them how to talk and look at me and understand simple commands, you know, how to find these combination locks and gates and Comcast chirps and alarm systems to keep them safe in the house so they wouldn't run away and wander off and have an Amber Alert, or worse, have them drown in a nearby pool or lake, or building a fence high enough and strong enough that they wouldn't be able to kick it or get out of it, and working and trying to do what I could for other families. I forgot about Andrew. I was like, you know what? You can talk. You can walk. You can ride your bike. You can warm up your ramen. You can put your Eggo waffles in the toaster. You good. You don't need a mama. You're fine. These other kids need me more than you do. And so he did good in school. I ignored it. He did bad in school. I ignored it. And it wasn't until he got older that he was able to come to me and talk to me and say, Mom, I just don't feel like I have your support. I lost my mama and my daddy to my siblings. And I know they need you, but I need you too. And I was blown away. I mean, even when I was sitting up here writing these autism children's books, I had written 3 books. I said, I got 3 kids with autism. I'm writing 3 books. I wrote Cameron Goes to School. I wrote Daniel Finds His Voice. I wrote Brandon Spots His Sign. I washed my hands. I'm done. I'm good. I wanted to write a book about each one of my kids with autism. And so when it was time this year, Andrew said, where's my book? I said, well, Welcome back to the Shaletta Show. We are broadcasting live from the Minnesota African American Heritage Museum and Gallery on Penn Avenue in North Minneapolis. And my son Andrew is still talking to kids who are here, who got free copies of his book, because, you know, that's what we do. And they are talking to him about how to be a writer, how to be an author. What did you have to do? What's the process like? It is amazing whenever he goes out into community, talking about his best-selling autism children's book, how kids can see themselves as writers and authors. It is so inspiring. Like, we wrapped up, we packed up, we were headed out the door, and some kids stopped him and said, I want to be a writer. There's a whole different program over here of kids with Daniel Bergen, and they're learning about Black Press in Minnesota and some other program. And these teenagers saw Andrew, and they were like, you wrote that book? You wrote that book? I think I got a story to tell, too. And so, you know, Andrew, at 17 years old, being an author that is out in community talking, telling his story, is not just so we can sell books. It is about inspiring other children that they have a story to tell. You don't have to be Dr. Martin Luther King. You don't have to be Rosa Parks. You don't have to be Sandra Day O'Connor. You don't have to be Oprah Winfrey or somebody famous to write a book. Everybody has a story to tell. Even little Andrew Brundage. And so when other kids see him telling his story, they are just so inspired. And they want to do the same. And so it's always fun for me to just watch him. You know, that literally they were packed up and ready to go. He and Sean and the other three children headed to Raising Cane's. You know, that's my satellite kitchen. When one kid stopped him, then another, then 12. You know, all inspired by somebody who looks like them. A little brown boy with dreads in his head, you know, who knows the language, knows the dance, works at McDonald's. He looks like them, right? And so it's just such a blessing to have, you know, my son be an inspiration to the next generation of creative people, the children who look up to him. So if you have not yet, get yourself a copy of Andrew Does His Dance. It's available on Amazon, Red Balloon Books. I always encourage people to go to our local bookstores. I know everybody has Prime, so it's easier to just click. But, you know, our local bookstores, it's so important that we get out and support them. So I tell everybody, if you're in Stillwater, get over to Gully Wobbles. If you're in St. Paul, go over to Red Balloon Books, Strive, Moon Palace. So many bookstores in town who are, you know, employing. They got brick and mortar space. Crown Shepherd right now is at the Minneapolis Farmers Market with a table where she's selling books from independent art authors right here in the Twin Cities. It is just so vitally important that we get out there and support our local bookstores. And if you've got a relative or a cousin or an aunt or an uncle and they have a child with autism, I just would encourage you to get a copy of the book and send it to them, so that their kids can see themselves in a book. There are not very many books out about children with autism. And that's why I created these books, so that these children with autism can be empowered when they see themselves on the cover of a book or in a book. And it's not sad. It's not just information for parents. It's not something that is discouraging. It shows them as the hero. Right. And so it's so important that we get these books into the hands of the children and the parents so they can understand that there's hope. They can see my children and know that things can and will get better. Now, don't go anywhere. We've got weather coming up next. It's a beautiful day. If you want to get out and about and do some fun things, like over here at this Heritage Museum and Gallery where I am live today for the duration of the show. And I'm going to be talking to one of my girlfriends, somebody that I know and love, Carla Bingham. She's got a program that she made me and my family jump in and become a part of. And I tell you what, I feel already like we are making a difference. What is it? We'll tell you after the break. I tell you what, when I came to Minnesota and moved to Cottage Grove, I did not know what to expect because I didn't know anybody out there. You know, our base is North Minneapolis. That's where our church is. That's where we were married. But, you know, we know that all things are not created equal here in Minnesota. And depending on your zip code, you may not have access to the things that you need for your family. And so when we moved back from Texas to the Twin Cities, we were looking for a neighborhood that had really good schools that focused on kids with autism, because we were trying to get our kids healed. You know, our goal is that we don't want our kids to get help. We want them to get healed. And so we moved to Cottage Grove because Great Cloud Elementary had the autism program, and we saw our kids making great, great strides, right, in the program. And, you know, one of the first people to friend us and to become allies and advocates for our family was Carla Bingham. Now, at the time, she was our state senator, and she had been a city council person, and now we are so blessed and honored to have her as our Washington County Commissioner in District 4. And she is joining us right now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. And I just cannot tell you what kind of value you have added to our family. Your family has become my family. Your mama's birthday was recently. I was like, I got to get to the store to give Mama Bankham a gift, girl. Because, look, we cannot. It's like, I feel like that's mama. Like, she is the whole mama of Washington County. I was like, no, ma'am, Mama Bankham's birthday cannot pass without me blessing her with something for her birthday.
And when I told her I'm talking to your friend Shaletta and my friend Shaletta this morning, she's like, you tell Shaletta good morning and hello and hope that she has a great weekend. She's super excited I was going to be on with you today talking about a wonderful program for the residents of Washington and Ramsey County. So.
And you know what? You have always pushed me outside of my comfort zone. Shaletta, advocate for yourself in your business. Shaletta, get those kids over here. Shaletta, are you showing up? I'm like, girl, look, I'm tired. You're like, no, come on, you can do it. And so, you know, here is one more program that you have told us about that is already blessing our family. I know, you know, for a lot of parents, especially those who have kids with special needs, we pack their lunches every morning, and nine times out of ten, that food is coming back. It is coming back. We will not be able to keep it. And I had been throwing it away, and you were like, no, girl, you got to get in on this food scraps program. Tell us all about the program.
So it's really, really unique. It's the only one in the state where the residents of Ramsey and Washington counties have this opportunity to recycle food scraps from your home. And what it is you can co-collect your food scraps. And really what it is, it's very simple, is you can visit foodscrappickup.com or contact our customer service line at 651-661-9393, and you sign up for your free bags. So everything is free here. And then what you do is you cook your food, you know, whatever you have left over, or if you bought too much and you forgot it was in the fridge, or you don't want those leftovers anymore, you put them in this bag that they send you. You tie a little knot in it, so throw it in your garbage container along with all the rest of your garbage, and then it goes right in on the curb. So, like, it's co-collected, and then it gets shipped on down to the R&E Center, the Recycling and Energy Center there in Newport. And then we have these cool robots, Shaletta, that use AI technology to grab those bags, and then they get separated, and then we take them out to get composted, and then that compost is used really instead of, you know, those bad fertilizer pesticides that aren't really good for the environment. And they help our farmers, they help our community gardens, which you and I both know flourish out here in Cottage Grove. We've had events at our community garden. So, yeah, I mean, it's just really a good opportunity for our residents here in Washington and Ramsey. And not every community has them, and we could talk about that in a little bit. But it's just a wonderful program.
And I want folks to know they can go to, and this is where I got a lot of information, foodscrappickup.com. That's where you can go to get more information. If you're online, if you're streaming the show right now, foodscrappickup.com. And I tell you, it's a lot easier than I thought it would be. You know, I need to make sure we stress that, because, you know, as parents with kids and you're trying to get the lunch in and you're trying to get the breakfast mm-hmm. in and you're doing laundry and you got to go to work, you know, the last thing you want to do is one more thing. And that's what I was telling you. I was like, girl, I don't have time to do one more thing. I don't really, but right. The way it's all set up, it's just like, you know, you put the receptacle there, you've got the special trash bags, you make sure that the food goes in there. It's no different than, you know, you recycling your plastics and paper.
It's so efficient, and it has such a little impact on the current, like, waste hauling system. So you don't have to worry about it, like another bin outside on the curb,
right,
or another truck making damage on your street, or different things like that. So, I mean, it really is environmentally, you know, sound, and it's just very efficient. And then here's the other thing, you know, whether you live in an apartment building or whether you live in a single family home, everybody has access to this. So it's very equitable, and everybody can do it, because it all goes into the garbage area, not into a separate bin, you know, like we were saying, where you have to go put a separate container out by the curb.
And that is so important, because a lot of times people in apartment complexes or in townhomes, you know, they're at the mercy of the people who run the place. And so they may want to recycle, or they may want to do other programs, but they're not able to participate. And this program is really the great equalizer. And it is so this, you know, everybody wants to talk bad about AI, baby. AI has got this working. These robots are sniffing out these bags in regular trash, and they are pulling them up, and it is like, wow.
And you know, like, let's talk about why this is. Everybody's like, well, why should we do it? Why should we care about it? Well, you know what? Because food scraps is about 20% of our trash weight, and then we want to remove that out of our system, our land, our waste, our landfills, and our waste system, right? And we want to be able to get that out of that waste hierarchy and create value from it. And that value in this situation is the compost. Hopefully someday we're going to be able to create actual energy from it that reduces, you know, the greenhouse gas. But, you know, being able to take that material and turn it into a use and put that back in the soil instead of the pesticides and the, you know, all the other stuff that, as I said, is not good for us. I mean, this is a way to do that. So, and it just, it really, you know, helps us nutrients back into the ground that are healthier for us and reuse it.
Okay, now I got to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, I've already got a couple of DMs from some folks in Cottage Grove who you know and love, and I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on? How can I start participating? We're going to tell people how they can sign up for this program when we come back. It is 12:50. You are listening to News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. It's 12:51. It's the Shaletta Show. I'm Shaletta Brundage. I'm the host of the show, and I don't know if y'all know this, but there is a Shaletta Day in Cottage Grove. It was one April day a couple years ago that I got a call to come down to City Hall. And I thought that it was because of the parking tickets that I had not paid. And so I literally told my kids, I was like, y'all don't come with me because I might be going to jail. So y'all stay home with your daddy. And so I got dressed and I went down to City Hall, and Carla Bingham, Susan Kent, Carrie Dietzick, Mayor Myron, Justin Olson, Steve Dennis, they were all there, and they were looking at me and smiling. I was like, how they gonna be smiling? They about to put me in jail for not paying these parking tickets. And what they knew that I didn't is Carla had cooked it up, and they had created Shaletta Day. And every year we celebrate Shaletta Day in the city of Cottage Grove. And they gave me this proclamation, and I was laughing and crying, and I was relieved that I didn't have to go to jail. I still had to pay my parking tickets, but it was just so beautiful that you did that for me, girl. And every year we celebrate, we have some cake. I make Justin Awesome do some splits and twirl and flip around in grass and stuff. But it was just so nice of you, girl. And you got the Golden Girls together. It was just a beautiful day.
Yeah, you know, it was fun, and I've never heard you scream so loud, and I think you maybe gave the police chief a little scare when you were screaming after you figured out what was happening, which is never a good thing to do, to scare the police chief. So, but yeah, what a great day. But so well deserved. With everything you do, giving back to our community and many communities, and lifting people's voices up that maybe don't have access to things that they really should, and really the attention that they deserve for businesses or healthcare or many different things that you promote. So we just appreciate that, and you need to be highlighted for what you do for Minnesota and for our community. So it's really well deserved.
I just can't thank you for that and what you're doing, you know, for the community with this new food scraps program. I've gotten a couple of texts and emails from some folks and some DMs mm-hmm. who live in Cottage Grove because mm-hmm. they've been hearing about the program. And like me, they have kids who bring 90% of their lunch back home. We've been throwing that away, and we could be putting that in the food scraps program. Yep. We are cracking eggshells. We're peeling bananas. We're cutting the stems off strawberries. You know, these mm-hmm. kids are spoiled now. They got us cutting the crust off the bread, and we've been throwing that away, and we should not be doing that. And so this new food scraps program that you are working to make sure to get the word out about, that we have in Washington County as well as Ramsey County, you know, the first in the state. Talk to me about how folks can sign up and participate.
So this program is available to folks in Washington County that live in the communities of Cottage Grove, St. Paul Park, Newport, Great Cloud Island, Landfall, Oakdale, Woodbury, and then also in Ramsey County and Maplewood and North St. Paul. The residents of the other communities, we're going to be rolling out in phases over multiple years because of the machinery it relies on. So mm-hmm. those that I just listed, all you have to do is visit foodscrapspickup.com, and you can just tippity-tap on the computer there, put your address in, and start your account, and they will send you a nice box of a year's worth of supply of free bags. Again, I'm saying this is free to participate in. And then if you want to call, we have a 24/7 customer service line at 651-661-9393. And so those are the two ways to be able to participate for residents in those communities. And we also have a customer service line and websites that are available in multiple language, English, Spanish, Hmong, Karen, Oromo, and Somali. So we're really reaching out to our diverse. Yeah, we have a very diverse, these counties are very, very diverse. You know, Washington yes. County is very diverse. Cottage Grove is over 20% diversity in our residents, and Woodbury, I believe, is even higher. So, I mean, we're really making sure that these services we provide are being able to be culturally relevant so that they can understand the services that are available to them so that they're utilized, because that's the point. Got to utilize the services that are available.
And it's so important that people feel like what is happening is relevant to them. You know, when you make things available in different languages, people say, this program is for me. It's not just for them. Yeah. And you have just been such a champion of being inclusive about everything and making everyone feel like they're a part of the solution, so that we don't have a problem of folks saying, well, that's not for me. I can't participate. And I just appreciate you doing that.
Yep. And that's the point of being part of a community, because we got to represent all people. And, you know, we got to make sure that the services that our government provides works for all people. So, I mean, that is what we're working on here in Washington County, Ramsey County, and we're partnering, and we're making things efficient and effective, and really helping in this situation, really focused on reducing that waste stream and helping the environment, and really making things efficient for our residents here through our food scrap recovery program.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I know it's Saturday.
Thank you for having me.
Lots of stuff to do. You and Boo and the dogs and Mama Nim. Y'all always doing something. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something right now, Carla Bingham. You let me miss a meat raffle, and we are going to have some furniture moving. I have never been to a meat raffle before, and you and Mama Bingham are always somewhere, and there's a meat raffle going on. I need a meat raffle in my life.
Well,
I got to get me a meat raffle.
in November, there's a meat raffle for the St. Paul Park Fire Department. But I'm telling you, Mama Bingham, I don't know what she does, but she wins. I don't know if she's spending my inheritance. Like, there's no tomorrow. She's spending my inheritance, and she's just winning meat. I'm going to win. I'm going to be throwing a steak on the grill after Mama Bingham closes her eyes. Be like, this one's for you, Mama Bingham, because that's all I'm going to have.
Baby.
Steaks. So
that's it. That's so, that's your heritage right there.
That's
a bunch of frozen
right
steaks. A bunch of frozen steaks. Don't let me miss it. I want to be there because I want to be with her because I know she's a winner. And I'm a winner because you're my friend. And I thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Shaletta.
All right. Talk soon. All right. And you all don't go anywhere. We've got more to come on the Shaletta Show. We'll be right back.